Welcome to Module 3 in the Taming Your Tech Habits Masterclass. In this masterclass, we're going to unpack the idea of how do we maximize our well-being in this digital age without going on digital detoxes or using phone bans. What are some realistic, sustainable strategies that we can implement to ensure that we're at our best for both our well-being and our performance? So we're going to unpack the idea of what it means to optimize our health and well-being in this digital space. And my goal is that we will boost your health and your well-being without having to digitally amputate you. So what is it that we can do? What is a realistic strategy that we, what are some realistic strategies that we can implement to boost our health and well-being? So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do, and if you haven't already done so, download your PDF summary sheet. And that you'll notice underneath this video as well, there is a link to repeat the digital health check that we did back in module one. This is the 22 task assessment where we looked at some of your health and well-being indicators in terms of where you sit in relation to your health and well-being in the digital world. And we're going to ask you to revisit this assessment, and we're going to ask you to record your score. And hopefully by now you will have implemented some strategies, you will have seen some improvement in your health and well-being in terms of some of the strategies that you've been able to implement. If you haven't seen some improvement and some strategies, rest assured we're going to go into more detail in the future modules as well as to how you can make some sustainable changes. But for now, we just ask that you repeat the online assessment that you took in module one to do a quick health check, a digital health check. So what I'm going to cover in this module, and it's a very quick module today, is how to maximize your health and well-being. So we're going to look at how we can implement breathing techniques, some mindfulness practices, and I'm going to explain why white space, why having the opportunity for boredom and unplugged time is absolutely critical for both your well-being and your productivity. So let's start with breathing techniques. What we know is that the ping of an email or when your phone keeps ringing or sending alerts or notification is that it triggers a stressed response. And when we're stressed, we activate what's called our sympathetic nervous system, our SNS. Our SNS triggers our fight or flight response. It's often characterized by short, sharp breathing, a spike in cortisol levels. We burn through glucose. So it really causes this stressed state. What we know is that when we engage in deep breathing, it activates what's called our parasympathetic nervous system, our PNS. And this PNS is what helps our body to rest. It helps us to restore ourselves. It actually helps us to digest food properly, which we know is really important for our gut health. But we can consciously activate our parasympathetic nervous system. And the easiest, most effective way for us to activate our parasympathetic nervous system is through breathing. What we know is that deep diaphragmatic breathing, this is where we breathe, where our tummy visibly moves in and out with each breath, as opposed to just our chest or our lungs. It assures us that our body is safe, that we're not in danger, and it naturally allows that stressed, heightened state to subdue. So when you are feeling like you've got a crisis in the office, when your phone just won't stop, we really need to get into this parasympathetic nervous system, because when we're activating from our sympathetic nervous system, our logical brain, our prefrontal cortex, isn't working at its most effective levels. We know that when we are feeling relaxed, our prefrontal cortex can be working effectively. So there, I'm going to go through a couple of strategies. If the only thing you take out of this module is to remember to do some deep breaths, a couple of deep breaths, it will make a really profound impact on both your well-being and your performance. When you're faced with a difficult client meeting, when you have had a barrage of messages or alerts and notifications come through, breathing can be a really effective way to help you deal with the situation effectively without it compromising your health. So the first breathing technique is called box breathing, and this technique has been researched by researchers in the US, special forces professionals, law enforcement officers, even UFC fighters and tactical response units have used box breathing, or sometimes called tactical breathing, to help keep them calm in situations where adrenaline kicks in and it can obscure their clarity. We know, for example, armed forces professionals often use this in moments of conflict. It basically has been proven to steady their hands and not obscure their thinking when responding to a critical or life-endangering situation. So box breathing basically minimizes our sympathetic nervous system. It has been showed, or sometimes it's called square breathing. It is one of the most simplest techniques that you can use any time you feel under pressure or feel that there's too much happening. When we are, you know, dealing with a multitude of digital requests, this can help us to calm down. This slowing down our breathing, which is what the box breathing technique does, because we breathe in for 4 seconds, we hold it for 4 seconds, we blow out for 4 seconds, and then we hold it for 4 seconds, and then we continue that particular cycle. This research-based strategy has been shown to release what we call relaxation neurochemicals. We know that serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, and endorphins are all released in our brain when we engage in this box breathing technique. It has both immediate effects on the brain and the body. And it has been shown that breathing, using square breathing just twice a day, will reduce your levels of anxiety, particularly for people who have a genetic predisposition to anxiety as well. So box breathing is a great technique that you can implement, particularly when you are feeling either digitally distracted or you are feeling overwhelmed. Another strategy is called shamanic breathing. And basically shamanic breathing is a therapeutic breathing practice that helps us to control breathing. But this time we actually intentionally breathe at a faster rate for several minutes. True shamanic breathing often requires fast breathing for hours, but I am not going to suggest that you spend hours of your day engaged in fast breathing. Basically, what shamanic breathing does, and in your handouts, there's some links to some videos if this is something of interest, but it changes the balance between carbon dioxide and oxygen in the body. And again, it helps us to feel alert. This is something if a nap isn't possible and your 2 to 3 p.m. slump, doing some shamanic breathing can be a really great way to invigorate you. Before an important meeting, if you need a good hit of adrenaline and you don't want to revert to having your sixth cup of coffee before 9 a.m., some shamanic breathing can also help to invigorate you. Another strategy, and these may seem a little woo-woo, but trust me, I have looked at the science and the research behind these, and that is alternate nostril breathing. This is a yogic breathing control practice, and it harmonizes both the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. It basically requires us to block one nostril, so we directly interfere with one of our nostrils by popping a thumb or a finger against it, and this interferes with our voluntary nervous system. And what it actually causes us to do is to kick in what we call our autonomic nervous system. So it is not under conscious control, and it allows us to very quickly communicate via our brain what we want our body to do. So it helps to kick in that the sympathetic nervous system, and it enables us to kick in that parasympathetic rest and relaxation nervous system. So we literally block one side of the nose and we attempt to breathe in usually for 3 seconds and blow out for 3 seconds again, and then we block the alternate nostril and do the same thing. But if that sounds too complicated, if it's not something that you can see yourself doing, just reverting to a few deep breaths, belly breaths, where you can see your tummy enlarging and shrinking, will be sufficient to help you to make good decisions. In essence, we know that when we're in a stressed, heightened state, which technology causes us, we've got something at the moment we know called email apnea. We know many of us literally hold our breaths when we go into our inboxes. We dump cortisol, we burn through glucose, our heart rate increases, and our blood pressure also increases just by checking our inboxes. Now, if that's one digital task we complete each day, you could imagine the multitude of stresses that are facing us in this digital tsunami. So breathing, whether it is just some simple deep breaths, maybe you want to get a little bit fancy with box breathing or shamanic or alternate nostril breathing, but any type of breath will basically help you to calm down and to make calm, controlled decisions that you need your prefrontal cortex, that logical part of your brain, to activate. A second way to maximize our health and well-being in the digital age, and again, this is not just an alternative woo-woo strategy, it is substantiated by a really quite significant body of research at the moment, is mindfulness. We know that mindfulness practices have been shown to encourage employees to be more productive, resilient, and creative. And of course, you can do mindfulness training if you are in a corporate or a personal situation where you can go and do in-person mindfulness training. I highly encourage you to do that. But I'm very aware that many of us don't have access to those resources. So rather ironically, there are digital resources that can help with this. And there are some incredible apps. I'm going to recommend three. There are a whole lot more available, but three mindfulness apps that we know have been based on science and have been very well designed. The first one is Smiling Mind. And Smiling Mind guides users through a series of mindfulness practices. These can be documented and curated over time. You can create playlists and checklists so you can go through at your own pace. iOS and Android devices also have an app called Calm, and you can access over 100 guided meditations that help you to manage everything from anxiety and stress to promoting optimal sleep. It is an app that's really designed for beginners, but it has so many options available in it that it is, I believe, actually suitable for intermediate and advanced users as well. And the third app is Headspace. And much like Smiling Mind and Calm, you have access to guided meditation and mindfulness practices to help you implement changes. Headspace, depending on your subscription model, can track your habits and behaviors over time. So I highly recommend perhaps considering some sort of mindfulness training or using some mindfulness tools. Again, there is significant evidence to substantiate their use. And the third, and I believe it's actually probably the most critical strategy, is carving out opportunities for white space. Now, what I really wanted to write on this particular slide, but I didn't think you'd want to see the word because there's so much stigma attached to it. But what I'm really saying here is we need opportunities for boredom. Our brains were never designed to be switched on processing information like they do in the digital world 24/7. Our prefrontal cortex, our CEO of our brain, our air traffic control system, simply needs a break. It needs opportunities to engage in what neuroscientists call mind-wandering mode. We used to call it daydreaming, but we live in such a busy culture. We are working in an age where we are constantly bombarded by the tsunami of screens that we never actually get that white space. So our job is to make sure that we carve out times, ideally in our day, if not possible every day, at least in our week. And if not possible, and I cringe at the thought of saying not possible in a week, but at least every month, where we have opportunities to decompress, where we digitally disconnect. Now, I'd promised that I wasn't going to suggest you go on digital detoxes and phone sabbaticals, and that's not necessarily what I'm talking about, but we do need regular intervals where we disconnect from technology. You see, your brain needs white space because your logical prefrontal cortex, your frontal lobe, needs an opportunity to, pardon the pun, to reboot. We need to enter this mind-wandering mode. And I don't know about you, but have you ever had your best ideas when you've been in the shower? Maybe you've woken up first thing in the morning, been for a swim or a walk, or been on holidays and there's actually been no Wi-Fi, and all of a sudden you have this brain explosion, an idea pops in, a creative solution to a problem that you've spent months agonizing over at work, a new solution, a brand new creative idea for a project. You basically have this light bulb moment. These moments often occur when we are bored, when we have opportunities to daydream and mind wander. And we must make sure that we are still carving out opportunities regularly. I actually believe daily for optimal performance, but at least at the absolute bare minimum, weekly, where we have unplugged time. And this can be time spent literally doing nothing. It can be lying on the lounge. For some people, that is incredibly frustrating. So for some people, unplugged time is going for a surf. It is walking. It is meeting a friend in a coffee shop and not taking your phone. It is intentional opportunities where we carve out white space. So how do we actually manage this in this busy digital world? We've got to remember not to overschedule. We have to keep pockets of time open. And ironically, sometimes that means actually scheduling in downtime. If our time is so crowded that we can't have incidental opportunities pop up, perhaps we actually need to carve out prescriptive amounts of time where we are going to engage in mind-wandering, daydreaming time. There are some large corporations who are prescribing sometimes up to 4 hours a week of the working week is being designated to something completely unrelated to their normal work duties, because companies are recognizing that we need opportunities for daydreaming and mind wandering. So ironically, scheduling in your unplugged time. What are the times of the day? Maybe it is working with your assistant to make sure that no meetings are ever scheduled on the night that you go to touch football, or that you are, you know, always there is an ample opportunity for you to fit in a surf at a set time one morning a week. But literally, ironically, I'm sometimes scheduling in our unplugged time if it's not possible for it to happen organically or intermittently. Making sure, as I've already mentioned in the previous two modules, that we get out in natural sunlight. I call it green time. And again, this is substantiated by research and science. Time in nature calms down our sensory system. Time in nature calms down our nervous system. And when we can calm down those two systems, we can be at our most productive and our most effective. Time in nature tends to be a lot slower paced. It tends to be calmer, and it enables our brain and our sensory and nervous systems to recalibrate. It gives them the reboot. Not only does it have physical benefits in terms of our improved vision and in terms of improved circadian rhythms, but it also has that added benefit of allowing us to literally recalibrate and reboot. And I'm not necessarily suggesting you go on a retreat for a month and lock your iPad up or your hand over your digital appendages, but can you cut out small periods of time? Could it be Sunday mornings for half the day where you just don't use any technology, where the router stays off at home? What we know, and what I'm going to be very transparent about, is that many people go on digital detoxes. They go on a retreat for a weekend. They go on a week's camping trip where there's no Wi-Fi, and these detoxes can work in some extreme cases. However, to date, most of the evidence tells us that digital detoxes tend not to work, as what they do is only create a binge and then a purge cycle. So we purge ourselves for the 2 days that we're on the detox, and then we come back on Monday morning and we feel like we need to binge. We've got to catch up on all the emails. We've got to catch up on all the notifications on social media. So what I recommend instead, rather than doing a significant detox, is just carving out regular time where you can digitally disconnect. Can you have a monthly holiday where you don't take devices? Can you have regular cutoff times each day where you implement some of your policies? Just small, regular sabbaticals will make a really big difference and will give you the opportunity to reflect on your digital habits as well. We've got companies that are now bringing out physical boxes, and this is one by the stationery company Kiki K, and this is the Disconnect to Reconnect box, where you literally pop your phone, tablet. I don't think they've made a box yet that's big enough for a laptop, but you literally pop it in. It does have that little circle you see on the right is to enable you to charge your device, so it doesn't need to sit in there and literally or metaphorically die. But we're seeing increasing numbers of products that are being designed to tailor for this particular need. So hopefully in module 3, you have already completed or redone your digital health check assessment so that you can ascertain whether you've been able to make changes. Hopefully by now you have made some positive changes to your digital health and well-being. We're going to shift as we move into module 4 more towards how technology is encroaching on our performance and productivity. But hopefully you will have seen and you will learn some more strategies in terms of how we can tame our technology to lead a more healthy and productive lifestyle. My encouragement, what I'm hoping that you can tick off after this module, is that you've practiced even just one breathing technique, that you've tried out one of the mindfulness apps or tried to use some sort of meditation, and that you've scheduled in some white space. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the next module, where we're going to tackle digital distractions.